It is a pleasure to be with you. Again, in the same lecture theatre with some of the same faces and people who are involved in the wider order of public life and politics. I haven't seen Barbara yet, but I've seen Barbara Ryan's on the list somewhere. And our former chief optometric advisor and the current one, so she's checking up on the work that he's been doing since she left. But I'm pleased to be here to join you again as we look to the future of eye care services, an opportunity to look back on what we've done and the challenges that we still have to address. And obviously I have a personal interest in eye care, not just because I wear glasses myself, but I've made use of eye care services with my varied medical history that I keep on telling people at various points whether I like to hear it or not. When I was a student in Aberystwyth, I had nephrotic syndrome, it was starting to be symptomatic, and I had a range of treatment, including steroids, and one of the side effects of steroid treatments for me was that I ended up having oblique shapes forming in my eyes, and I had raised pressure in my eyes as well. And I have a family history on my mother's side of glaucoma, so they were rather concerned when I started talking about seeing halos around lights, and it wasn't that I was being taken up. And so I ended up spending an overnight stay in bronchitis. And I readily recount this in terms of what happened with NHS treatment, how quickly it acted, but also the point about your experience as a person. Because when I went into bronchitis, I didn't really know what was happening there. I knew there was a problem with my eyes, I knew that's why they'd asked me to come in, and I trusted that was the right thing to do, and I got getting some very painful eye drops. And there wasn't really much of an explanation why. And when I said, look, the drops are quite painful, and then I was told rather sharply, well, actually, the raised pressure in your eyes could permanently damage your sight. And so if we don't do something about it, you could end up having sight loss, so it's a choice. On the one hand, it was like, that was quite useful information, but I didn't appreciate being told that earlier on. So I knew why these potentially painful things were put into my eye. And also, someone left a window open in an optometrist office, so it was cold. But ultimately, for all the things I could complain about, that I was treated really quickly. I went in, and of course it's made a difference to me, because I've been used to going along as my sight deteriorated as a teenager, and gradually having to wear glasses full time, and so I take it for granted myself that I will go in, and every year, every couple of years now, I'll get my eyesight tested, I'll choose a new set of frames, and I'll wander about. And I know that the high street optometrist is an expert in eye care, and I'm very happy to go there. And part of our challenge, if we look back and the things that we assume are normal now, it isn't that long ago that they weren't. We should look at the progress we've made and be proud of it and regather our efforts for the future. If you think about what we have done since the eye care delivery plan began in 2013, we've established an all-world multidisciplinary steering board to monitor and implement the delivery plan. We've established multidisciplinary eye care collaborative groups in each health board to consider, develop and implement the delivery plan and its recommendations. We've rolled out national screening of children's vision at ages 4 and 5 across all health boards. There's £1 million to the Health Technology and Telehealth Fund to improve IT connectivity in primary care, and that in itself should improve patient care and release capacity in hospitals. That point about a prudent system where people only do what only they can do and other groups of staff do what they can do just as well. We secured £500,000 of new funding for health boards to develop new service models to deliver AMD care in primary care. And again, think about when wet AMD treatment started, under theatre conditions initially, the role of injectors, how that's moved on, and really at quite a quick pace. And you know, we take for granted that should be happening, and we worry quite rightly about the times, the treatments. And it's not that long ago those treatments didn't exist, and then they were in theatre conditions, and now they're being rolled out in primary care. And there's over £600,000 to enable optometrists to manage patients in primary care via the Wales Eye Care Service. And actually, I do note the points made about our colleagues over the border in England, not Mordor, England. And there was a conference event last year, they were about 18 months ago, and they were struck by the fact that we had this service across the whole country. And they were talking, well, we want this to happen across England, but it doesn't happen. And it's still about us looking to take advantage of being a small country. We can broadly get a national picture of people in the same room. And we should then be able to make choices. And our challenge then is how rapidly we're able to make those choices across the country. And there's always some frustration, as there should be, that we're not able to move as quickly as I would want to, and I'm sure people in this room would do. But actually, we really have made national choices that have made a difference. And that includes the additional money that we've secured for optometrists, upskill, and in particular high qualifications in medical retina, glaucoma, and independent prescribing to be able to manage even more complex patients within primary care. Now, that is not an exhaustive list, but it does show some of what we have achieved together. And with the rapidly advancing technology we have, that will continue to have a great influence across all fields of medical care and assistance, including, of course, eye care. But a key way to reduce sight loss is, of course, to encourage patients to be more involved in their own eye care. As I told at the start, a particular experience for me before the age of 20 meant that I have had a lifelong interest in paying real attention to my own eye health. I'd like other people not to have their own health scare experience before they take a similar level of interest. But we do want to try and do so by trying to equip the public to make more of those choices themselves. It's partly about informing the public to make them more aware, but it's also part of our job, with responsibility for running and delivering the system, to make it much easier to navigate. So in primary care, if people say they've got a problem with their eyes and they bring it to their GP, it's entirely appropriate for the GP to try and direct them first to go and see the optometrist. These aren't difficult people to get hold of, and in some instances, it'll be easy to get an appointment there. But how that's done matters as well. So the challenge about our colleagues in one part of primary care, not saying, no, you can't have an appointment, we don't want to see you, but saying, actually, if you've got a problem with your eyes, the most appropriate person for you to start by going to see is the optometrist. They are a specialist in eye care, and they're much more likely to help you and send it to the right point if they can't assist you. So it's not saying, I don't want to see you in this part, which is negative, go away, but it's positive, there's a better person for you to go and see. And that's part of our job. How do we make it easy for the public, who we can't obviously expect to understand every complexity in the way that we organise and deliver healthcare, but how do we help them to get to the right point as a positive perspective and giving them those choices and options rather than as the computer says no, so you can't come here. In every aspect of healthcare, technology and advances will continue to provide opportunities and challenges in the way we deliver our service. I referred to WET AMD earlier. The transformation and revolution from within that we all seek to deliver has begun with eye care services, but of course we can't stand back and admire the work that we've done and say, haven't we done a good job? The challenge, as we all know, is there is much more work still to do if we are to provide a service that is generally fit for today and the future. So to help achieve this, the government has established a service reform group to scope deliver a national Wales eye care service with two key threads, a sight test and eye health check. And the current chief optometric advisor, there's not been a note about him being temporary, but it's just because Barbara will be here or something. I can't see her. She's coming here later? Excellent. So you can tell them I talked about her, and I was nice about her when she comes. So we're leading on scoping the exercise. The implementation of the delivery plan recommendations has really helped as a springboard for that development. And the aim is, of course, to develop that system fit for this century. As we increasingly have an ageing population, there are, of course, growing demands right across National Health Service and social care services as well. And that is equally true here in eye care services. So there are key questions for us to answer. What will the future of eye care services look like? How will new technology influence eye care and service delivery for citizens across Wales? And of course, crucially, how do we make sure we put the person at the centre of all of that? So there is a real opportunity to get involved and to influence those reform discussions. To make sure this isn't reform for reform's sake, reform for a purpose, and about improving on what we have. And that is part of our job as well, not just to be proud of the service we deliver today, but as Bevan said, and every Labour politician, with apologies to Lib Dems in the room, every Welsh Labour politician likes to quote Nye Bevan. And when the NHS was created, I mean, of all of the famous Bevan quotes, he said, the NHS must always be inadequate. And he wasn't saying he wanted to see bad headlines about the NHS on newspapers on a regular basis to attack and address the morale of staff. He was really saying, we always need to be looking about what happens next. What do we do today that we do better tomorrow? How does our understanding improve? How do we continue to reform for a purpose and continue to have a mission to improve what our National Health Service can deliver, just as true today as it was more than 70 years ago. So there's that opportunity to get involved and to help set the future. Now, our focus today has been on providing seamless eye care services across primary and secondary care to maintain quality, to reduce service variation and inequalities in access and outcome as well. Last year, I talked about new eye care outcome measures introduced in Wales, a first in the UK, treating patients with the greatest need first and prioritising appointments for sight-threatening eye disease. We knew that delivering those measures would be challenging, but it was the right thing to do. And in saying we'd have a new set of measures, I knew that there'd be criticism, because we'd more openly say the areas we weren't achieving what we wanted to do, the level of variation across the country. But if we're not prepared to try and move on and make progress, we'd get stuck with a system that would be harder to shift. And that would have meant that we could have said we're achieving RTT targets as they were previously set out, but not actually getting to people with the greatest need first. And that, in this field, means potentially permanent and avoidable sight loss. So since last year's conference, health boards began shadow reporting against those new measures, and the results showed us exactly why we do need to transform services to cope with demand. As a result, I made funding available to support organisations to transform eye care services. £3.3 million was provided to health boards to help do just that. And the funding was aimed specifically at supporting eye care services and to shift that care closer to home, in the community, and to tackle the growing capacity gaps that we know that we have within our acute sector. Things that people in a hospital don't need to be doing, but could be done in the community. And we shouldn't be shy about saying we want to do that. So it isn't about saving costs. It's actually about saying you get a better service, often a more local service. And as someone who still attends outpatient appointments, I don't particularly want to go to the Heath unless I absolutely have to. If I can get that care locally, I would much rather do that. And that's true in virtually every field of delivering healthcare. And so it's about a positive, not saying to people who work in the hospital sector, we don't think we're any good at this. It's actually saying we recognise the skills you have and they're best utilised dealing with a different group of patients, because these people could and should be seen locally. So the plans include expanding or establishing services in the community to ensure that patients are seen in the most appropriate setting by the most appropriate person, to introduce and further develop virtual clinics, and to expand the skill mix of our staff to include more nurse injectors and optometrists, and to safely share care between the community and professionals in the hospital. I'm pleased that the current picture does show a real improvement since health boards started shadow reporting, and this represents the investment we've made in the service. But it also represents, I think, the real desire across our system to actually deliver a better service, and the recognition that reform is the right thing to do, and that, of course, the direct engagement with healthcare professionals delivering and working within the system. So we've long been recognised that an integral part of the transformation of eye care services in Wales is that effective sharing of information between our different professionals. So in March of this year, I announced just over £7 million of funding for the introduction of a new digital system for eye care across primary and secondary care. So referral from optometry practices to hospital services will connect the whole system and provide the ability for safe and timely referral between optometrists in the community and hospital eye care services, and to reduce the need for some of those patients to be seen at all within a hospital. And the introduction, finally, of an electronic patient record to enable the expansion of shared care and further avoid unnecessary delay, administrative duplication of information, and to improve outcomes and experience for people across our country. And the procurement of the new digital system, being managed by Cardiff and Vale Health Board on behalf of NHS Wales, is coming towards its final stages. I look forward to being in a position to make an announcement on this in the coming months. That will represent a real and positive step forward for all of us. It is, of course, vital that we meet our targets, because that means we will reduce avoidable sight loss in Wales. Despite the investment we've made in services and the continued hard work of all those involved in providing eye care, as I said earlier, there is much more needed. Because A Healthier Wales, our joint plan for health and social care, launched last summer, called for that revolution from within to drive change across our health and social care system. It came on the back of an independent parliamentary review that recognised our current system isn't fit for purpose. It is certainly not fit for the future. So reform is not an option. It's whether we choose it, whether we deliver it at a point of crisis. And in iCare, we are choosing what the future should look like. That vision of everyone in Wales being able to live longer, healthier and happier lives, to remain more active and independent, to have more care delivered in the community, for hospital visits and treatment to be only accessed when absolutely necessary, and to be able to deliver that care in a more timely manner. Now, none of this is controversial in terms of the vision. The challenge is how we deliver it. So our IK workforce and the future of the service, to work with the principles of proven healthcare and to have real clinical leadership across our system. To recognise and support that approach, further investment has been made in additional qualifications for optometrists, orthoptists and ophthalmic nurses here in Wales. In our hospitalised clinics, upskilling our professionals have made sure they're only seeing the most complex cases, with the support of the whole eye care team is essential. Additional funding has been made available through Health Education and Improvement Wales to strengthen our primary eye care teams. And that investment is built upon the previous investment made by the government in glaucoma, medical retina, and of course, independent prescribing for optometrists. The future of sustainable services in eye care requires all clinicians to work together in that seamless manner, to manage patients that only they can manage, and to link together using digital solutions that are being made available. And that whole system change, when achieved, will help to reform and revolutionise our services. And I can't overstate how important it is for all stakeholders involved in delivering eye care to look to the future, to embrace change as a positive, and to want to be part of deciding what that change will look like. So thank you to all of you for your continued dedication to continued improvement in eye care services here in Wales. And I hope that you recognise it's not just an important thing for eye care services, but actually for our whole health and care system. To be able to show that there is an area of work that we've achieved something real and important that is making a difference to people's experience and outcomes, and to give other people the confidence to want to set out on the same journey that is being achieved here in eye care. For all the challenges that do exist, and there are still many, I am positive and confident we have a good story to tell, but more so, a really bright future ahead of us too. Many thanks for your time.